Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Aussie Seda, and I have my co-host, Margaret Sheldon, from Boston. We won't talk about baseball since I live in L.A. and she lives in Boston.
Wait a minute.
The Red Sox are up 2-0, but that's all we're going to say.
I'm sorry.
You're
going to
win.
I didn't get that memo.
You're totally going to win.
3 days ago, I heard, 3 days ago, you said
your team
I can't
is
wait
way
to
too
talk
good.
About the series. Hey, anything can happen. And, you know, Bostonians are so funny. I will point out that I think we went something like 80 years without winning a World Series. So
okay, whatever.
We've figured
this
a
is
few
an
things
art show.
Out.
Can I just say that?
All right. I just can't believe you're not going to a game. You guys are pretty big fans.
No, we're
we would like them to come home to win it. That's all I'm going to say.
No comment. So would we actually?
We would. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we did not have a show last week, and I have to apologize because I was in France. I was on Thursday. I can't even remember where I was. I think I was in Beaune, I think, which is like the coolest place in the world. It's kind of in the Burgundy region. We did a lot of champagne and wine drinking. If you followed me on Instagram stories, and actually it was so popular, I saved it because a bunch of people were like, I wanted to plan my trip and you need to save. But anyway, it's saved in my stories. But oh my gosh, the cooking class we took at the Cook's Atelier, it was insane. It was so much fun. But the only problem with France is you have, like, cheese with every single meal. You have it at breakfast. You have it at lunch. You have it at dinner. And I'm kind of like, I can't even look at a piece of cheese right now. Ugh, because I eat too much. But
interesting.
Yeah. So I did not call in to do the show from France because I was on vacation. And we're a day late today because yesterday, on the way home, we flew through Dallas, which I booked months ago. And I just got off the plane and went to Waco and kissed my husband and said, bye, honey.
Have to go check on our house.
Yeah, so I was in Waco last night. They're good.
The sun shining.
We bought a tray fixer, but it's now at the fun stage where they took all the plaster down and there's shiplap on the walls and on the ceilings. And this little tiny house has 10.5-foot ceilings, if you can imagine. That's really tall.
That's awesome. Yeah. Are the doors oversized? Are the doors taller as well?
They're not, but because the ceilings are so tall, when we put the doors in, I'm putting transoms above because the all the windows are 7 feet tall, so they're pretty high up.
Yeah.
So I need to bring the door up that high with transoms, which will be really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. But no, it's getting fun now. It wasn't fun in the beginning when I opened the door and it smelled so bad I couldn't even, like, walk in.
Yeah.
And the fact that a family with children had lived there the day before we bought it makes me just, like cry.
So, anyway,
it was fun. So, we're finally doing a show on SEO, Margaret.
I'm so glad because I feel like I need this so badly. Your timing, you always give me credit, Leslie, so I must give you credit. This is entirely Leslie's brilliance and expertise that's going to come through in today's show. She is responsible for it, and I don't know, I'm just grateful because I plan to put at least 50% of this to work this weekend. So there you go.
Well, here's the thing. I have to add a warning, and that is I've only kind of grasped this concept for a couple of weeks now, and a lot of people would say it, then why are you doing a show pretending you're an expert on this? And here's what's so intriguing to me. 3 weeks ago, I had no idea what SEO was. I'd even taken like a class at a conference on it for two times and still never really got it. And once I got it and I understood how powerful it was, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to share this. And I kind of like the fact it's new to me because I think I can make it make more sense than if 2 years from now I'm like, an SEO is blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I think we need this on layman's terms because I've watched a lot of podcasts. Pardon?
Yeah. I think you need to tell everyone what SEO is.
Okay, SEO stands for search engine optimization, but just forget that because it's kind of complicated. It's confusing. What it is, it's a format which you can increase the quantity and the quality of the traffic that comes to your website. So when you are talking to someone and they say, so how do you grow hydrangeas? And you pick up your phone and you type in Google, how do you grow hydrangeas? What pops up next is SEO. And if I have done 5 posts on hydrangeas on my blog and I have done it correctly, there is a chance that my post might pop up. And you may see it and you may click on it. So this is so different than social media where all you do is you like get followers and you have to share everything you do and you want them to come find your art. This is where you're opening up your art to the entire world. And to be perfectly honest, you could have one follower and do amazingly well with SEO if you do it right. And I kind of didn't get that. I didn't really understand that that's what it meant. So it's kind of like the little tricks that you can do so you have a chance of your website popping up, i.e. blog, popping up when someone searches for something. And now when I search for something, I look at it so differently, because I'm kind of like fixated on this. Yeah, so it's true.
Well, good.
And one thing I'll tell you, if you have an address for your website and or blog that's like at blogger.com or at weebly.com and it's not at margaretsheldonart.com. This is going to be .com. This is going to be way less successful for you. So if you've been thinking about changing your site so you actually have your own domain, this is a really good reason to do that. And maybe it costs you $19 more a year. I mean, hello. It's kind of important.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay, so well, all of this makes sense, and as I said to Leslie before we started the show, I am sort of committed to redoing my own website because I'm just starting to realize after all these shows how little good it does me to ignore. You know, it's easy to let it sit there, but I'm putting the work in now and I'm bringing in new photos and I'm doing all those things and it will take me forever, I'm sure. But that's okay because I kind of like to go slow and steady. That way I understand what I'm doing. But one of the things I realized is we've talked about the importance of your blog and how your blog and your mailing list is something you own. I think, Leslie, you always do a great job of explaining how Instagram or even Facebook can change the algorithms and suddenly it's almost like the rules of play change. But if you have your email list in good shape, you always own it. So that means to grow an email list really does require a blog, which means getting your, you know, website ready and going, and it all plays together. And one of the things that I think I need to understand better, and I'm hoping you're going to explain next, is how keywords work. Because when you're setting it up, they ask you to list your keywords. What makes, can you sort of explain what keywords are and kind of what makes them tick and how they work in, with relation to a website particularly?
Sure. So when I use the example of how you grow hydrangeas, when someone Googles that, certain sites pop up. Those sites are popping up because of keywords. Now, volume, the number of people that go to these websites, there's a lot of other factors, but the most important things truly are keywords. So the thing about keywords, they're keywords and phrases. So when I say keyword, it doesn't mean the keyword has to be one word like hydrangeas. It could be how to grow hydrangeas could actually be your keyword. So just so you know that. So those are keywords. And it's those that make it possible for people to find you in a search engine. So a website that's well, I hate to use this, well optimized. I hate that word. But a website that has really good, kind of the good format. And the key is you want to speak kind of the same language as someone who might be searching something to find your site.
Yes.
So let me give you an example. And there's kind of some common sense, but there's a really important concept you need to understand. When you do a keyword, there's two things you're looking for. The meaning of the keyword and how do I describe this? It's like what the keyword means and how many people out there are searching for it. Okay? So you can have a great keyword on collage art featuring trucks, and it may be great, but there may be no one searching for that. So you have to think about that, and you can't, you don't want to have one that, you know, a billion people are searching for, because there's no chance you'll end up on the front page when someone searches it. But you don't want to have one where five people a month are searching for it. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's really important, and I'm going to help you kind of understand how you do that. The second thing is you have to understand how densely populated this topic is. So if you find a good keyword that a lot of people are searching for, but there's a million people and huge retailers or huge companies, they're going to bump you down to page, you know, 50 on Google, and you'll never get seen.
I see.
So it's kind of like a sweet spot you need to find for something that's popular, but not too popular, and something that there aren't too many people answering it. Does that make sense?
Feeling very gold. It's feeling very Goldilocksy.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So here,
popular,
let me give you an example.
But not too popular.
I know. Yeah, exactly. So let me give you an example. Let's say you want to sell your art. Okay?
Good
let's
idea.
Say you paint boats.
Great idea.
Let's say you paint boats.
Yes.
And you're going to do a blog post, and you're going to share a new painting of boats that you painted. Well, you could say, okay, the keyword's going to be art. Perfect. Well, here's the problem with the keyword being art. Granted, 250,000 people every month search the word art, but the density is so big, there's no way you'll ever be found. If that's your keyword,
right.
Just art. So then let's say you go to oil painting. Well, there's still, you know, like 50,000 people searching for oil painting. So the chance of your little site coming up is probably not going to happen. So what if you put in boat oil painting? Well, here you've got about 300 people searching a month, and there's hardly anyone in there that has answers to boat oil painting. So it's kind of a cool thing to kind of find your niche. And you don't want to do painting boats, because then you'll get all the people who are painting their boat with paint. You know what I mean? Not a piece of art, but actually a floating boat.
Lots of marinas. Yes,
exactly.
Well, that makes sense.
So it
is
a little bit...
where do you go to find this?
Well, I'm going to tell you that, but give me 1 second.
Okay.
So you have to remember that Google's whole purpose is to provide their customers with relevant and useful search results. So everything they do is kind of built around that. So it's really important that by you publishing something, i.e. a blog post, you need to tell Google what it's about. And the way you do that is with keywords. So and I'm going to tell you in a second how you find those. We're going to get to that. But it's funny, because it's like there's this world of bloggers who are so focused on keywords that I thought it was kind of creepy in the beginning, and now I completely understand why it's such an important factor.
Now, isn't that funny? Now you're one of them. No, but it makes sense, because otherwise we get lost.
Oh, yeah.
And you said you'll be on page 50. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, which is kind of cool. I mean, you could do boat paintings in Lake Tahoe, Lake Tahoe. And granted, there's going to be a lot less people searching, but when someone does, boy, oh, boy, are they going to find you. So it's kind of important. So anyway.
You know I've got questions now. Do keywords tie into your website or to your blog post, or both?
Okay, they do for both, but here's the problem. If you update your website once a month or once every 3 months, it's stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing new. there's not new material. So you really need to understand that keywords are really going to happen in a blog, because that's something that you're updating, hopefully, weekly. And every time you do a blog post with keywords, all that data is going to Google, and hopefully Google's grabbing it and putting it into their answers. It doesn't just like search the web forever and search your website every day and grab it every day. It grabs new stuff. So if you don't have new stuff,
I see.
It's a little bit harder to find, just so you know.
Ah.
Yeah.
So is that a reason to – that sounds like it's a really good reason to post a blog to your blog more than once a week.
Absolutely, if you can. I mean, I'm going to give you some ideas on how to make that an easier thing said, easier said than done, which is good. Because, or no, I have some good tips on how you can make that simple. Because I'm trying to post four times a week, but I'm only posting new content three times a week.
Ah, you're going to tell us the tip to that fourth post, I can tell. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. Blogs are important. It's the fresh information. I get that.
Right.
Does it matter? Do I need to have like a ton of followers on my blog in order to make this work? If you were saying
Can I back up for a second before we get to that?
Sure.
One of the common questions is, can I just Google keywords that I think would work and then see if my page shows up? You can't do that because Google, when you Google something on your own computer or on your phone, it uses the history of where you've been. So if you Google a topic that you just wrote about, you're going to pop right up. So that's a fake reality.
Oh, I had
so
no idea.
Yeah. So if you think you're doing really well on the internet, it's because you're looking at your computer and your phone. So there's a thing you can do, and you can go incognito on Google. If you want to do it, just open up Google Chrome, and on the far right-hand top side is three little dots on top of each other. And if you click on that, it says something like, go incognito. So it opens a new window, and it kind of goes a little bit black, and you can search there. And suddenly you're searching as if you're not yourself. And suddenly you'll disappear from the planet, which is sad. But I just wanted to make sure you don't say, well, I'm already turning up in Google, so I don't need to do a thing.
Oh, that's scary. I was thinking I'd be calling my kids, you know, in New York City saying, do me a favor, Google this.
And they're also going to be a little bit tainted because they probably have looked at their mom's website a lot. And then when you're done with that, just close that window and you'll be fine. You'll be back into, you know, Google knowing who you are. So it's really easy to go.
Me.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that because I think it's really important to know. So.
Yeah. And anyone can make their browser Google Chrome, right? All you have to do is download it and use that, choose that as your browser instead of, you know, for people who have Macs, it's usually Safari.
And it doesn't matter which browser you use. I say Google it when I'm on Safari. I mean, or Firefox. That's just a terminology now. But this whole concept works for every search engine out there. So if you use Safari, that's fine. I don't know how
you
to go incognito, but you can just Google it. How to go incognito on Safari, and it'll tell you how to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of funny.
It
you can
matter.
Just Google it.
I know.
You can just Google it. All right. So.
Yeah.
All right, that at least gets that
underway,
so I can see where I am. I'm afraid to look now. I'm going to do this all afternoon. You know that. All right, so
you'll
back to the question about followers. What if you feel like you know you're insignificant in terms of your number of followers? Will
it
that
doesn't
matter. Do you need to have a certain.
You could have. Well, sure. If you have a million people visiting your website, yes, the popularity will pop you up. There's no doubt. But you don't have to have that happen. And so you can have one follower on your blog, and it can still turn up high up in search engines if you do this smart. So to me, that's like the golden egg right there. That's where the light goes off, and it's like, oh, my gosh. If you want to sell your art, if you want to sell your workshops, if you use the right keywords and you do some basic things, you can actually, people can find you when they Google. But if you if your keyword's art, they'll never find you when there's a quarter of a million people searching and probably, you know, 1,000 pages above where you are. So you just have to be smart. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I know.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit how these, I guess I'll use the shorthand, SEO keywords, how do keywords help an artist in particular?
Well, obviously, it helps you, whatever you're doing. If you are a, let's say you make, you know, pottery. Let's say you carve horses. Let's say you paint abstract art with a palette knife. Let's say you do digital art. You want to be able to help people find you. And whatever you do, there is an audience out there for you. The key is figuring out a way to say, hey, look, here I am. This is what you want. And I guarantee you right now, 99% of the people listening, the artists that are listening, have great blog posts, great art, but they haven't done anything to their blogs to give to have a chance of having anyone find them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's too much. There's a billion people on the internet. I mean, if you think about that, it's like, how does that happen? So there's some things that you have to do that we're going to talk about in a second.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking about, like, when I, you know, when you do sort of, even on Instagram, which a lot of people use Instagram to point to their blog. I see that all the time. Like, they'll have a really great post, and they'll say, you know, you can read all about this on my blog, and then you can kind of send people over there. Even there, you see people that are kind of, like, winging it with hashtags or when they get to their, you know, website, maybe they're tired and it's time to put in the keywords and they put in, you know, impressionist landscape paintings. they kind of like, you know, you just like, I don't know. It would be so great if you could maybe give a list, or can you give us some guidance about like why you can't.
How you come up with keywords?
How do you? Like, or keywords that are really particular enough to what you're doing. The person who carves elephants out of soap. I mean, whatever it is. Like, there's got to be more than just, I always see them sorted by color, blue paintings. Honestly, I'm not going to put blue paintings in as a keyword. It's
but a lot of people
will. That would feel,
a lot of people search for paintings by color. Because that's how they want to pick the paintings.
But isn't that where
we
just
room.
End up on page 56? Or,
well,
I mean, how
here's
do you,
the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing.
What?
You need to kind of think about, in generally, I think before you even get to a particular blog post, you need to think about what you do as an artist and kind of have like some buckets, invisible buckets up there that kind of fall into what you do. So you probably paint. You may teach workshops. You may do shows. Whatever you do, kind of think of what those buckets are. And then within those buckets, think of maybe some keywords. Now, I'm going to give you a tool that you can use online to kind of help you see if your keyword is good or bad, because I think that's really important.
Ooh.
But I don't want you to get too scientific. I mean, I know some bloggers that spend more time finding their keywords than they do writing 5 blog posts. And I think it's a little bit off.
Yeah, that's backwards.
Kind of. I just think you can't overthink it, and I think a lot of people do. So let's start with the first bucket I mentioned, and that is that you paint paintings and you sell your art. So within there, I would look at some keywords that might be palette knife paintings. I'm talking about the abstract, you know. There might be one abstract paintings. There might be large abstract paintings. I'm just thinking. And as I mentioned, a keyword does not have to be one word. It can be multiple words, but don't make it 8 words. You have to kind of simplify it if you can. And if you teach workshops, oh my gosh, you could do palette knife painting workshops. You could do painting workshops, which is a little bit bigger. You could do painting workshops in California. You could do 3-day painting workshops. You could do online painting workshops. So see how you can kind of just kind of look at what you do and come up with these kind of big keywords.
You know,
and so go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that is exactly what I did when I was leaving my full-time job and I decided I needed to kickstart myself by going to a workshop. I literally Googled oil painting workshops in New England. That is what I put in because I had decided I just didn't want to fly anywhere and I'd see what was around. And it isn't that funny because I thought, well, let me sort of strip it down to like the simplest form of what I'm looking for. And I found exactly what I wanted. Thank you, Randy Sexton. But
okay, so can I just add one thing?
Precisely how I did it. Yeah.
The whole time you're doing this, put yourself in the mindset of the person trying to find you and think, okay, I teach workshops here online and in Southern California and everywhere else, but let's just say you just make it simple. You just teach them in Southern California.
Sure.
What would someone go on to Google to find a workshop in Southern California? Well, hello, duh. If you kind of do that, you're going to come up with much better keywords.
You know, I think this would be a great exercise to do with a couple of artist friends, too, because
you know
how sometimes it's easier? Yeah, it'd be really good, like, just to brainstorm it. Now my friends are all thinking, oh, God, here we go. She's going to be picking our brains.
And as far as, like, how many people are Googling it and how dense, how crowded it is, you can do that next step, but you don't have to. It's such a big step if you can even just get the right keywords. But the next thing that you do, once you have your keyword, so it's kind of like now when I think about something I'm going to write about in my blog, before I write it, I know what my keyword is, which is kind of interesting. Because I thought that was ridiculous prior to learning. And I have to be honest. I have a confession to make. I now have ads on my blog. And I get paid for every time someone looks at my blog. And if they scroll down and they see an ad, I get paid. I mean, it's not like I get paid a ton, but it certainly does add up. I know people who have so much traffic to their blogs. They're making thousands of dollars a month, like over $10,000 a month, just on that. So you can see why they're motivated to get as many people as they can to have, you know, find them via a Google search and go to their site. So it's a whole nother way artists can make money without even selling art, which is kind of an interesting option. And we're going to talk more about that. But anyway, so once you have your keyword.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. No, I'm following with you. Go ahead. All right.
So once you have your keyword,
now,
what
is
do you
there
do?
A limit?
A limit to?
I don't know.
A keyword or
what
keyword?
What do I do with it?
Okay, well, you kind of need one.
That was my question. Is there a limit?
Okay, you need one main keyword. So let's say your keyword for this is palette knife paintings. You want to vary it when you name your photos, and I'll talk about it in a second, but you can have palette knife paintings, palette knife boat paintings, large palette knife paintings. You can change it up so that you still have palette knife paintings, but you make it a little bit more specific just to grab somebody out there who's doing the Google search that maybe is a little more specific. Does that make sense? So let's say our keyword is palette knife paintings. That's what I've picked. So when you do your blog post, the first thing you do is you make sure that that's in your title. And if it happens to be the first three words in your title, that's even better. Okay?
Okay.
You also need to use your keyword in the first paragraph.
Oh, wow.
Really important. Next, you need to dabble it in your blog post. Maybe like three more times. Don't put it 20 more times. Google doesn't like that. But the most important thing you have to do is you have to name your photos. Because how many times do you search Google Images? A lot, right?
A lot.
If you search Google Images right now, all of my pictures for my entire life have a name of like 13DEFJ697421.jpg. Literally.
Right.
I never
whatever came
renamed
them.
Never. Which is so dumb. And I'm right now laboriously trying to go back and rename my photos that are already in my blog post.
Oh, wow.
Because they'll never, ever come up. Never. Based on the photo itself. And that's insane. So if I have 5 photos in a blog post about palette knife paintings, my first one will be named palette knife paintings. My second one, maybe palette knife boat palette knife paintings. My third one, maybe palette knife paintings by Leslie Seda. You just have to name them that way. And if you go in your blog post, there is one other thing you want to do to your photos. I'm not trying to freak you out, but there's a thing called alt text. It's A-L-T-T-E-X-T. You also want to put it in there because it's another thing, and I forget exactly, but it's a really important thing that Google searches with your images, and it's really important. There's only 2 things you need to do. Name the title of it. So when you see, if you drag your photo over to your desktop, it'll show the photo and the name underneath it, and if it says 127835, that's what you have to change.
You just go in there, highlight it, and change it to whatever.
It depends what program you're using.
Pasadena. Okay.
Yeah, it depends what program you're using. It can be a little bit tricky. You may have to, save it to your desktop and rename it and then replace it. It just depends on whatever program you're in.
Oh, replace it, yeah.
But that's so important. And that's all you have to do.
Amazing.
So put it in the title, in the first paragraph, sprinkled throughout your blog post, and in your photos. And that alone could cause you to literally be discovered by a lot of people. And these are people you don't know, you've never tried to find as friends on social media. They're people who are just on the internet looking for art. Or workshop.
All right, I have a simple question.
Okay.
You said if you sprinkle it throughout your blog too often, Google doesn't like that. How do you know what the things are that Google does and doesn't like? Like, I would
you
just
can
think,
read,
oh, this
you
blog
can watch
post
the
wasn't
20,
popular.
You can watch the 20,000 blog posts out there about keywords if you want and videos.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You just,
so
it's, a lot of it's
just,
kind
it's
of common sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the problem is you may not know, but most websites, you can look at your stats and it'll show you where people come from that find you. Currently on all of my blog posts, the number one thing right now is Instagram. Number 2 is web searches. And number 3 is Pinterest.
Oh, web searches.
So, But that web search number is climbing really fast, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's working! How cool is that?
That's really cool. All right.
Yeah.
So sounds like we've got a few tasks here. I'm sure I'm not the only one that finds it hard to switch from your visual artist brain. Here you are painting, drawing, whatever it is you do, to your kind of analytical, wordy, other side brain. But I think that this sounds like it's really important. We can go back and we can rename those photos. We can update. Do you think it's worth putting new keywords in old blog posts?
100%. So what I was going
to
tell you is right now, I try to write 3 new blog posts a week, and then I try to update 2 other ones. And so what you do is you go into your blog program, whatever it may be, it's Weebly or WordPress or whatever, and you can you need to look at your posts and think, okay, what's a good keyword? Now, if you want, you can use a service like there's one called SEMrush. It's S-E-M, S as in Sam, E-M as in Mary, Rush, R-U-S-H. Now, they have a free search portion. It's a little tricky to find because they want you to buy the one that's, I'm not kidding, $100 a month, which is insane. And it allows you 10 free searches a day, which I think is plenty. But it's called SEMrush. And if you search a keyword, it'll pop up and it'll show you how many people are searching it a month and how saturated it is. I wouldn't take it at this point, because I think when you're just starting, there's so many other things that you can spend your time doing. But when you look at it, I think the biggest thing is just to get an idea of how many people are searching it, if it's too broad or too narrow, and you want to find something in the middle. But once you look at this old blog post, number one, I guarantee you when you wrote it, you had no idea what your keyword was. So you might need to change your title. You probably need to add that keyword in the first sentence and a couple other places.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, you need to change the names of your photos.
Yeah.
To incorporate the keyword. And then when you do
that. If I do nothing else.
Well, exactly. And then when you do that, change the date so it'll publish it today or whatever date you want. So it's going to bring it up and publish it. So then Google will see it as being a new thing. And that can help you a lot. Yeah. Now, there's something to be said about not changing the URL. Leave that the same, which in a lot of cases it won't change it unless you actually go in and change the URL that it had saved before. Because there may be some things that search well for you, and you don't want to necessarily lose those. So.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, boy.
Just saying.
All right. So now I'm like overwhelmed, but all right. So let's see where we are on our
A lot of
here.
It's common sense, Margaret. You know
it
what I mean?
It is, except that most of us don't. First of all, if I don't think what I'm doing is going to reap any rewards, then I'm less likely to really get into it. But this, for me, and I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, this is like manageable because there's
no, like.
Yeah, that's
why I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. So if someone was interested in all this, I mean, they figured out that, you know, the whole purpose of being on the web with your art is to have it seen, whether you're selling a ton or you just sort of like the notoriety. But, you know, if you want to take a look at how you're doing right now, how do you find out, like, how many people are coming to your blog, you know, whether it's every day, every week, every month? Like, is there some sort of easy way to check how you're doing other than, you know, looking at how many people comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Every website builder or blog, you know, blog builder has a way to look at your insights or stats, as it may be called. So the first thing you want to do is go into where you create your blog post and find that that information. There's another thing you can do, and it's called Google Analytics. And if you Google Google Analytics, you can even do it in Safari, it doesn't matter. Just have to have to link it with your Google account and then type in the name of your blog or your website, and it'll show you. And you get you can see, oh my gosh, way too much information. But the easiest thing is if you're in Weebly, you can go in and look at your insights. But if you want more information, and you can see how you've done today, yesterday, the last 7 days, the last 30 days, the last 6 months, the last year, you can see who sees you, how long they spend on your page. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I think it's important to know where you are. Hopefully you'll be surprised and happy. But you may be like, wow, no wonder I'm not selling any art. No one sees me, ever. And that's good to know because you know you need to fix some things.
There's no doubt in my mind. You know, I previously always sort of judged whether or not things were going well by how many new email addresses I had sign up for my newsletter. I will admit that sending out my newsletter is not something I will brag about because I kind of let that ball drop.
Okay, let me on that note, can I add something? When you Google something for information, how often do you actually sign up to follow that person? 1 in 100?
Only if
1 in 1,000?
Yeah, because I'm the wrong person to ask because I'm a big unsubscriber these days. So unless there's some really, you know why I sign up? I'll tell you. It's when I see that I can get a discount on something.
Huh.
That's why I give out my email address. If someone says, you know, we'll give you a coupon for 15% off, you know, basically they trade you 15% off of something, then I'll do it. Or if that's the only way to get access to some information that I want, you know, if you're interested in hearing more about X, you know,
right,
give us your email address and we'll send it to you. But is there any other way or reason to get people to give you their email address?
Well, okay, it's really great. If they come on and they like your art and they sign up to follow you, that's like a complete home run. But even getting people to just see you is huge. So don't get too caught up in the I'm a failure, it's not working if I don't have new people signing up to follow me. And it's funny because I have people, bloggers who I love, who I follow every day on Instagram, but I don't follow their blogs. I don't get them sent to me every day. And I realize because of that, it's not the end all.
So then how can you see, how do you determine if your website's getting enough traffic? Is it just doing the analytics check? Is that enough?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the other thing I look now is how much ad revenue I make every day, because that's a big indicator of how well it's going. And the little graph that shows me, which is pretty interesting.
I know. You really have done an amazing job with this. By the way, I saw that you're over 151,000 followers. Congratulations.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Instagram. Amazing. All right.
I know.
So you said you have ads, right? You have ads on your blog now.
Mm-hmm.
How does the ordinary artist, or is it not for the ordinary artist, how do people discover more about that?
Okay. Now, okay, here's the thing about ads. It can be really irritating when you're on your phone and those friggin' ads pop up and you can't even, like, see anything because there's so many ads.
Yes.
I have to say
very
that. And I feel very strongly about that. So I'm in this little catch-22 right now where I had enough traffic so I could sign up with a company called Mediavine. But you need a lot of traffic to do that. I was super excited, and I went from no ads to a bunch of ads, and I was, like, cringing. Now, you get to control exactly how many ads you want, where they pop up. However, for the first 3 months, they so strongly encourage you not to change anything because it's this really complicated process, but it's helping them figure out where the best place are for your ads. So before you start changing it around, you don't make dumb decisions, if that makes sense. So I'm kind of in that, I have too many ads stage. That makes any sense? So Mediavine
You'll winnow it down. Okay.
Yeah, Mediavine is, and this is the thing about ads, it's passive income. You don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to buy anything. I mean, if they just see it, you can earn something. I mean, it may be, you know, a portion of a penny, but who cares? So everybody can do Google AdSense. You can sign up, and they can put ads on your, and you get to, when I went through with Mediavine, I could say I don't want any political ads, I don't want any ads about medicine, I don't want any ads about alcoholism, I don't want any ads that show skin. I mean, it's so specific, it's kind of funny. You can really control. And then you have to remember, each person that goes onto your site will see ads that of stuff that they're interested in. So what I see on my site and what you see are totally different. And if you get decent traffic, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, why not? I mean, I know it's weird.
It's very encouraging. I think I think what's exciting about it is there are a number of good reasons to do this, right? First of all, the whole idea that, you know, doing the work on your blog, it can be seen by a new audience.
Yeah.
That's a reward right there. But
Absolutely.
Then to think that you could grow your audience, it's also a good incentive to put good content. You know, don't just blather on. Like, figure out what it is that you have to say that's unique. And maybe that good content rewards you with traffic numbers that can bring you some passive income.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's just trying to buy the next tube of paint, right? I think that's really exciting.
I mean, ideally, you want to optimize SEO so buyers of paintings can find you, or our artists who want to take your workshops can find you. That is by far the most important thing, hands down. And that is my whole goal of bringing this up today. But there's a couple other things that you can do to increase the number of people that come to your blog. One of the things I try to do every week on Instagram on the weekend is I'll make a little shot, little thing on Canva is a app I use on my phone where you can take a picture and add words to it and make it look really pretty. And I'll say, like, on the blog this week. And then the next photo that pops up is a screenshot of one of my blog posts. And then the next one is a screenshot of another blog post. So I'm basically promoting blog posts that have appeared during the last week. If you have the swipe up feature, you can add that. Another thing you can do is you can pull out old blog posts and put a picture. You can do an Instagram post on this. You can put it in your stories and just share something that you wrote a blog post on. Because people, the thing you have to realize is it's very rare that someone goes, oh gosh, I already saw that. I mean, that never happens.
Right.
There's just so
right.
many people
either don't
out
remember
there.
Or
oh yeah.
Well, the other thing is like you have new people are visiting all the time.
Of
I don't
course.
Go, I don't often go back through someone to see what they said last year.
Right.
So it
right.
is a good idea to put it up front.
And on Facebook,
the
you can
thing,
let
yeah.
me just add one thing. On Facebook, you can put the
no,
link
do.
In there. Yeah, on Facebook, you can put the link in there. So if you don't have the swipe up feature yet on Instagram and stories, you can put the link in there. Then you just tap on it. But don't do blog posts
great.
And then stop promoting them. You should be promoting them all the time. So right now, I'm promoting a ton of the posts I did last year around this time of the year.
Oh, because they
you
were
know.
Seasonal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And there's some bloggers that have 7 years worth of seasonal stuff. Can you imagine?
I cannot.
Yeah.
I really cannot.
I know.
That's amazing.
But a lot of
Gosh.
Us have 7 years of art stuff, or 4 years, or three
yeah.
years, or whatever. There's a lot of paintings on there that you can share.
That's
so,
really interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget
okay.
that social media is a great way to get people to go to your blog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, is there anything else we should know? I'm trying
Probably.
To think. It seems like I've got some tools here. Yeah. That's right.
Let me
we will
look.
Share it with the listeners as we figure it out. Leslie will
yeah.
become the expert, and I will become the expert at asking questions about all the things I didn't understand once I got in there and tried to do it. Because, you know, that's always the key with me. Well, you know, you try things, and that's how you kind of find out what you don't know when you get to that point where you're stuck. For instance, I thought the keywords were just the ones that you put in the little box for keywords on your website. I didn't realize you could use it throughout a blog post. That,
yeah.
For me, that's
you
the biggest
to.
News today. I had
I think
no
the biggest
idea.
Thing should be naming your photos, personally.
Naming your photos.
Uh-huh.
That's a big job, but
yeah.
yeah.
And you
yes.
and you may want to put your name in all of them. You know, a lot of people search art by people's last names. You may want to put your last name in there, too.
Wow, that's not a bad idea. Gosh,
yeah.
a lot of good tasks this week. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that even if from today on you start doing this, you're so far ahead of where you were yesterday. So if you don't
yeah.
have time to go back, you know, a lot of – and all the big bloggers that I've met who are, like, so nice about trying to help me because they're like, oh, my God, Leslie, your photos aren't even named. What are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry. But they all have said to me,
Rookie.
Don't worry about the past. Just do it right from here on out. And I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Oh, I can live with that. That that sounds manageable. Or maybe,
yeah.
you know, I'm big on if you're sitting in an airport – decide
right.
that you're going to rename 10 and just
yeah.
do it then because you're,
oh,
killing,
yeah.
you're killing time anyway. So,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, this is great.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so
oh,
it's
boy.
Not as complicated as it should be and just try to put your mind in the mindset of someone who's on Google looking for your paintings and think about what would they type in? What would they search
right.
to try and end up finding my painting? And that can help a ton. It really can.
That'll be great.
Put it this way.
Oh,
it's not going
to
hurt.
That's right. I want to see a whole lot of people putting their workshops on there. I think that'll
oh, yeah.
be great to kind of see a real uptick in who's teaching where and You know, make it as easy as it was for me, however many years ago, when I did my simplest of Google searches. And, you know, I found something that really clicked for me. So
The last thing you should do is after you post one of these newly done keyword blog posts, wait a couple days, wait a week, do the incognito thing, which on Chrome, if you remember, on the top right side, there's three little dots on top of each other. Click that, and it'll put you in the incognito mode. And Google your keyword and see what happens. Don't be discouraged if you don't show up, but you may be on the fourth page, which is still amazing, because I guarantee you weren't before. And just, you know, just to see how it's going.
Hey, maybe that's the yardstick. Do it today and see what your analytics show, and then do it after you've made the changes.
Yeah.
Because most of us
idea.
Don't know how poorly we're doing.
Yeah. So true.
Okay, I
so
started
true.
At zero, so that's great. All right, well.
Okay.
Well, welcome home.
Thank
Glad
you.
You're back. And, you know, you've given everybody a lot to do this weekend while they're watching the Red Sox.
Oh, no, well, they're watching.
And I suppose that other team.
Come back.
California. Yeah. There you go. I like that.
All right, my dear.
Positive attitude.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.